What's up, everybody? This is Big Nate, and this is the podcast. Let's talk about creepy stuff. Pretty self-explanatory. We're going to talk about creepy stuff. Places, things, people, anything creepy. It's always been an interest of mine. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the episode. So today's case is going to be an interesting one, because if you've ever seen that old, kind of silly, but technically horror movie class genre, whatever. If you've ever seen Jennifer's Body, it had like Megan Fox in it. I don't advise you watch it. I watched it a long time ago. It's kind of silly, but it really shocked me though when I saw that this movie was eerily similar to this case, and it may have been what inspired the movie Jennifer's Body. I don't know. If you haven't seen it, the movie was about a rock band sacrificing Jennifer, aka Megan Fox in the movie, to the devil, because they thought by doing so it would give them fame as a rock band. And so that's the point of the movie, is they're going to sacrifice this girl to gain fame, and it all goes south from there, because she comes back and she has superpowers, and she basically starts hunting men down and killing them. And so kind of a crazy thing. But then as I read this story to you today, that is a true one, you'll probably notice some major similarities. So as crazy as this all sounds, I mean, we could see that as a logical, you know, fictional movie story. But when you start realizing that there were some people that really believed this kind of thing in real life, it's kind of creepy. And this case centers around a girl named Elise Marie Pauler, or Paler. We're going to say Pauler. It's trippy. So let's get right into it. So Elise Marie Pauler was a 15-year-old girl. And in the early evening of July 22nd in 1995, so we're going to jump back quite a few years, Royce Casey, Jacob Delischmut, and Joseph Fiorella convinced Elise Pauler to sneak out of her house and come hang out with them at their favorite spot. It was in like a eucalyptus grove in the Napomo Mesa. And so Elise knew the boys pretty well, and they were in this local metal band known as Hatred. Pretty original. And she was, you know, pretty much friends with them. She knew them. They'd hung out together and so on. But she had no idea that they had spent months plotting something very insidious. So the boys, just kind of a little bit of a backdrop about them, they were big Slayer fans, you know, the metal band Slayer. But they kind of went too far. They were obsessed with Slayer, but the thing was, they took the lyrics in Slayer's songs seriously, almost literally. Not almost, pretty literally, I would say. If you've never heard of Slayer before, they've kind of got the whole dark satanic image going on. And their lyrics revolve around murder, satanic themes, things like that. I'm not even satanic panicking you right now. I'm just being honest. That's literally what their themes are and their stuff. So when you listen to this case, like when I did, I was kind of getting like the Charles Manson vibes, because he literally like would interpret like the Beatles. They had their song Helter Skelter, and he literally interpreted it to believe that it was about a race war he needed to prepare for. So it was a big component in his cult. And so I was kind of getting those vibes from it, because these guys are listening to music and taking it literal. Now, I'm not an advocate for violent music. I'm kind of, I like better vibes than that. But like, you know, it's one of them things, like everybody's responsible for their own decisions. They can be influenced by things, and I'm not defending anybody per se, but like, you know, there's libraries and stuff full of graphic material that kids can be exposed to. And they can be, you know, if you take the route of just blaming music all the time, like you've got to blame you got to be consistent and blame everything else that people, you know, listen to. So sometimes people have mental problems and they take things literal that they shouldn't. And it, you know, and sadly it ends badly. So how does Elise fit with dudes like this? Because Elise was in general a normal teen. If you see pictures of her, you'll see that. Parents liked her. She was in her choir at church. She was a pretty good student. The thing that was kind of going on with her at this phase in her life, you know, she's 15 and she's going through this rebellious phase. But she kind of rebelled a little more dangerously than some did because she was dabbling in substance abuse, drinking a lot of alcohol, you know, things like that. And so she was kind of entering into this rebellious teen phase where she was partying a lot. And so that wasn't that abnormal. So when she was in, you know, like, you know, going to parties and stuff like that. So when she was invited out to drink with this group of guys that she knew, you know, it wasn't out of character for her to go. She snuck out of her house, and we've all done this kind of thing, right? And so we've never thought anything necessarily bad other than if we get caught. And plus, she knew these guys, so, you know, what could go wrong? The problem is that even though, you know, the metalhead thing wasn't necessarily the problem, the fact that they were kind of like, you know, a little bit subculture isn't the issue. The problem that she probably didn't know about, or at least didn't know the extreme they were practicing this, is they were really dabbling into Satanism and not like the whatever this new stuff is, you know, like these guys actually believed Satan was a deity, which as a Christian, I obviously believe he's a real person. But they worshiped the real guy, you know, that was their draw was to the occult and specifically to Satanism. And it was the kind of Satanism where they believed that the sacrifice of human life can actually grant you benefits or power in this life. And so she may not have known that they were dabbling into this darker side of things. So the boys believed that they could get better musical ability if they provided a sacrifice to the devil himself. So between satanic reading material that they're getting and Slayer lyrics that they're taking literal, they came to the conclusion that they needed to sacrifice a virgin to Satan in order to gain the ability to basically shred a guitar in a more powerful way. Like literally they thought they would improve their musicianship if they sacrificed someone to the devil. And so they decided that Elise was the perfect target. And they picked Elise in particular for their victim because she was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, reputed virgin. And they thought that these specific traits about her would be the, you know, it would make their sacrifice of her the ultimate sin against God. That's a quote. Like, they really thought that this was the best that you could offer Satan was this blonde-haired, blue-eyed virgin. And so they planned what they were going to do to her. So when they all arrived, you know, now let's go back. So we see the backdrop of what led up to this. So these three boys and Elise make it to the eucalyptus grove, like where they like to hang out. And when they all got there, everything seemed pretty normal. You know, they're talking about stuff, goofing off, acting like teenagers. Nothing abnormal. And then they start smoking weed. And this was, you know, normal protocol for the teens as well. They all like to smoke together. But then, you know, after her guard was down, things took a drastic turn for the worst. Jacob Delishmut was the first to strike. He removed his belt out of his waistband, and he began to strangle Elise with it. He wrapped it around her neck. And Royce Casey held the girl down as the other boy, Jacob Fiorella, pulled a hunting knife out of his pocket, and he started stabbing her. He stabbed her in the neck with it. Ultimately, like, you know, they stabbed her 12 times, but none of them were fatal, they figured out. But she literally died from bleeding to death. She'd been strangled, but that didn't kill her, and the stabbings themselves didn't kill her. It was the loss of blood that finally killed her. So she literally died a slow, painful death. This is like the most heinous murder you could do, and they wanted it to be that way. They even, you know, it was Elise even, you know, had prayed and cried, for her mom, you know, like while this is going on, and the boys didn't show any sympathy. They even went so far as to kick her and stomp on her. And the autopsy report's what revealed that she'd been stabbed 12 times, but none of them had been fatal. And so, like, literally she was stabbed and beaten, and that's not what killed her. It was the fact that she bled to death. So it was a slow, painful, horrible death. This is as twisted as it gets. So according to Casey, Royce Casey, it wasn't the first time that they had even tried to do this to her. He said that they specifically, that they were going to do this again. They had already tried to do this. And they thought that they would be able to gain these powers by this sacrifice. And they had already tried to do it once, but it failed. They had lured her to another remote area. And one of the boys acted like he fell down this ravine, thinking that she would come down after him. And so, so they do that, and she goes down there. And Jacob Fiorella, one pretends to fall, and then Jacob Fiorella throws a knife to one of the boys, and they start shouting, "Do it!" Like, well, when she starts to follow him down there, they throw the knife to one of the boys gets the knife, and they're like, "Do it, stab her, do it, do it." But the boy didn't do it. And so they believed that she thought they were just joking, and they played it off that way. And so she never said it to anybody or told anyone that this first attempt had ever happened. And so she thought it was just one big joke or gimmick, and they must have played it off that way, and it just never, you know, became anything. So this girl must have really been a trusting person, because I would have never talked to these dudes again after some crap like that. And this cost her life. You know, if anybody is doing, like, it's not funny. It's not funny when someone's pretending to kill you, like pretending to tell someone to murder you. You're one, especially you're a girl, 15-year-old girl with a bunch of guys, you know, and like you're trying to help one of them. And then you see one throw a knife to the other one, and they're like, "All right, let's kill her, let's do it." And you're like, "Oh, you guys, you're just teasing." You know, that stuff's not funny. If you ever hang around anybody that does that, like, don't hang out with them anymore. I'm 34 years old, and if that ever happened to me, I think I could take care of myself pretty well. But I'm not going to purposely go out with these guys. But she was 15. You know, she thought these guys were cool. It's just keep an eye on your kids. Make sure they're hanging out with people that aren't toxic like this. These were horrible kids. You know, they had bad motives in mind for this girl, and they were able to do it. So fast forward to the successful attempt of killing her. After she had died, and they pretty much knew, you know, after they'd beat her and stabbed her and she had bled to death, they knew she was dead, and so they violated her corpse. And so you know what that means. So, and this continued on for 8 months. 8 months, nobody found Elise's body. It had been hidden in the woods, and the boys were even running around, apparently bragging about what they did, but nobody took them seriously. They're like, nobody that they told this, they're bragging about what they did and claiming that they're going back to violate this body that they have hidden. And everybody thinks it's just a sick joke, and they're not even taking them serious. Her family had obviously reported her missing, and the cops were looking, but the trail went cold. But nobody thought of these boys she hung out with all the time, who are literally making jokes about what they're doing. I don't understand that stuff. Like, nobody just makes that kind of sick thing up when a person's missing. And if they do that, if there were somebody that was that sick to do that, that's a red flag that those dudes need help, and they definitely don't need to be ignored. So yeah, that went on for 8 months, and these boys are, they know this body's out there. They're doing horrible things with it, and they're talking about it to people, but nobody's really saying much about it. They're like, "Oh, they're crazy. Just a bunch of weird metalheads." And I'm like, I hung out with a lot of metalheads, and they weren't this sick. Like, has nothing to do with whatever dark stuff their aesthetic. Okay. Like, Anybody of any, I don't care how preppy they look or gangster or whatever, if they're bragging about this kind of sick thing, needs to be addressed and talked about. But thankfully, in 1996, one of the boys, this is 8 months after the fact, one of the boys would thankfully come forward and admit to the crime they committed. If he hadn't done this, many believe they would have never found her. So if this boy had never come forward and claimed, you know, claimed his part in this, they probably never would have found her. 17-year-old Royce Casey had found Jesus and was heavily convicted for what he had done. So he contacted police and he led them to where the body was. So her partially mummified remains were splayed out in the eucalyptus grove, and they were located around a quarter of a mile from her home. How sad is that? Just a quarter of a mile away from her house, that's where her body was, and her parents couldn't find her. They had no idea where she was, and it seemed like the trail was going cold. I'm not thankful that Royce Casey, like, obviously, when I say thankful, I just mean thankful that he came clean and led them there. They could at least have some kind of closure. But it's horrible what he did. But I'm thankful he was so convicted, and he gives Jesus the credit, which is awesome. But he says, you know, hey, I messed up. This is what we did, and actually admitted it. And so all three boys get arrested. And when they get taken to trial, they plead no contest. They say, yes, we did it. And they admitted to the whole thing. They tried to say that Satanism had no part of it, but they clearly believed that they were real Satanists sacrificing a virgin to the devil to get famous, like to get supernatural powers to play instruments better. So I don't know what they thought. I don't know. If they're going to admit to everything, I don't know why they wouldn't admit that part. But they pled no contest, and a jury found them guilty and sentenced all three of them to serve 26 years to life in prison. The family of Elise actually tried to sue Slayer for being a driving force in the sick minds of her murderers, but they lost the case. Though the lyrics were indeed dark, they did not encourage anyone to do acts of violence on others. So the judge ruled in their favor towards Slayer, and it got dropped. So, and my opinion is, look, I don't see the benefit of making music about killing or about death and stuff. Like, I don't see it myself, but I get where the judge is going in a way. Because if you blame one for something like that, you got to blame them all. You'd have to blame the Beatles, you know, like, you know, you'd have to blame library books. You'd have to, because there's so much material out there. It's not the material itself. It's the person that gets a hold of it. You know, just like the thing with guns and other things. It's like, it's the person that gets a hold of it that's doing the damage. They're making the bad choices. And so if we were to start canceling all this stuff, you'd have to cancel everything in the world, because anybody can derive something out of anything. And it's the person that's the problem. So, you know, these three boys, though they were into this stuff, I see where the judge is going. It's not fully fair. You can't just say, oh, if that music hadn't been here, they wouldn't have done it. No, they would have found something else. And I'm not a Slayer fan. I don't care much about Slayer, obviously. But I get what I mean is I get where it was going. So all this could have been avoided, though, I think, if people would just pay attention to people more, if people would actually just see that there's certain people that are troubled and try to get help for them. It's not, you know, some of it, like, I just don't get it. And the case could have been closed a lot quicker if they had paid attention to these boys who were bragging about what they did to her to other people. And these people just didn't take them serious. If someone tells me they murdered somebody, I'm going to take them serious. If I find out it's a joke later, that's great, but I'm going to take it serious right then. You can't joke about that kind of thing, especially the sick part of it, of what they were doing with her. It's just crazy. So, yeah, guys, I was studying this case, and it really just stuck out to me. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to do a recording of it. So I hope you learn from it. And thank you for tuning in. And stay tuned, because I'll try to get another one up pretty soon.